10. And I just want to share with you, it's so hard to sometimes to preach on the road because you don't know what a church needs. And there's a part of you that wants to be a little self-serving and just kind of promote your college and promote what you're doing. And I don't think that's right necessarily to do. But I want to help you tonight. And I think I can, and there's part of me that I don't know if I want to be bombastic tonight or kind of teachy, but I want to help you tonight. More than anything, I want to help you. But in Ezra chapter 10, there's just a fabulous story. In chapter 10 and verse 10, the Bible says, "And Ezra the priest stood up and said unto them, Ye have transgressed and have taken strange wives to increase the trespass of Israel." I'm reading in Ezra chapter 10, now in verse 11. "Now therefore make confession unto the Lord your fathers, and do his pleasure, and separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives." And you can see this commandment of separating them from the unrighteous or of a different religion, these wives. In verse 12 it says, "Then all the congregation answered and said with a loud voice, As thou hast said, so must we do." In verse 13, "But the people are many, and it is a time of much rain, and we are not able to stand without, neither is this a work of one day or two, for we are many that have transgressed in this thing." I want to draw your attention to that line. "Neither is this a work of one day or two." Father, I pray that you'd help me tonight. What a great privilege, dear Lord. What an awesome responsibility, not just that you have entrusted to me, but Lord, this dear pastor, Brother Shearer, who's been here so many years, who trusts his pulpit to our college and to our pastor, dear Lord, I would never betray that trust. And I pray that you'd help me tonight. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. May someone here be transformed tonight by your word, dear Lord, and something that you have brought to them. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me, Lord, for Christ's sake. Amen. One of the things that I do is I am not by nature, I'm a person that you got to keep it simple. If you make things complex for me, I'm not going to get it. And so all through my life, I try to break things down into simple terms, simple things, just like people who go to Golden State. They need things real simple, all right? And I'm sorry, you went there, didn't you? And that's the same way with Hiles Anderson, all right? We're the king of simple, all right? King of superficial, by the way, too, amen? But I try to keep things simple. And there's some quotes that I seem that I love little quotes that put life into perspective. And I love little quotes that kind of do this. For instance, my barber, his name is Phil. When I get my hair cut, I look at this poster. And every time I look at it, he has it right on the wall. I look at this poster, and it puts life into perspective. It's by that famous evangelist. You probably know him. His name is John Wayne. Great guy. Great man of the faith. But here's his quote. You ready? "Life is hard, but it's even harder when you're stupid." I read that quote, and I think, man, that's it. That's Bible. That's good right there. Amen. Some of you have probably, some of you that are a carnal like Brother Mendez, Brother Danny is, I like to watch television. That's my pastime. Amen. And you've seen that Southwest commercial, right? I'm going to give you this phrase. You'll know exactly. Well, you want to get away? How many times have you been in that situation and you just have been so embarrassed, like, how can I get out of here? I have a friend of mine by the name of Tom Hertzel. But when things go bad, when things are just at its worst, he'll look at me, and we've been in these situations through the years. He'll look at me, and he'll say this one phrase: "What are you going to do?" And it's just that one phrase that kind of puts things into perspective, that kind of helps you out tonight in life. And in the passage that we read tonight, the Hebrews are going through a cleansing time, a learning time, a growing time. And what happens here is, in this story in chapter 10, Zerubbabel has led the historic restoration of the temple. There are many twists and turns, but the work is finally done, the work of restoring the temple. Adversaries and attacks, and the worship is restored, but soon after the people lose their separation and forsake the worship of God for false gods. Look at Ezra chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. The Bible tells us here in verse 1, it says, "Now when these things were done, the princes came to me, saying, The people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the land, doing according to their abominations." So here you have Zerubbabel and Ezra, who have led in this restoration. Everything's going well after all these years of twists and turns, but the people start to backslide. And the people start to go back to the world, and the people start to marry, literally, those people that were of false religions. They start to intermarry. They start believers with unbelievers, and the Bible teaches us that ought not to be. But what begins to happen is Ezra hears this report, and it troubles him. And let me just say this, that sin ought to trouble us. The day we ever get to the point where we kind of laugh at sin and sin doesn't bother us, we're in a bad place. And especially if you call yourself a man of God, which every man in here ought to call himself a man of God, often we say, well, it's the preacher's duty to live right. Let me just say this, it's every man's duty to do right. And sin ought to trouble us. And so Ezra begins to be troubled. And what does Ezra do? He gets on his knees and he begins to pray. And his prayer brings deep conviction upon the people. He prays a mighty prayer, and the people come under such conviction. They're convicted about their personal lives, namely their intermarriage that has gone on. Ezra makes a bold announcement of what needs to be done. Here's what he says. You need to put away your idols. You need to put away the world. But then he proceeds and he gives them a big one. He says, you need to put away those strange wives. See, you need to put them away. Can you imagine a man that has been married? Man that loves this woman now has been given the command to put her away, to give her money, to take care of her, and put her away. That's something in the Old Testament. I don't understand it all, but that's the commandment that God gave. He said, I want these unbelievers out of the camp. I want them out of the nation. I call that a hard thing to do. Can you imagine having to put your children out, children that you had reared and children that you had brought up? Nevertheless, it was a hard thing. But God asked them to do it. And to their credit, here's what they said. We'll do it. We'll do it. It's tough, but if this is what God asks us to do, we'll do it. But here's the thing, and I don't want you to miss it. But in verse 13, they say something that puts things into perspective. In Ezra chapter 10 and verse 13, it says, at the end of verse 12, it says, so must we do. In other words, they said, we're willing to do this. But verse 13, it says, but the people are many, and it is a time of much rain, and we are not able to stand without, notice this, neither is this a work of one day or two. They come to Ezra and basically they say, Ezra, we're willing to do it, but you have to understand something. This is going to take some time. We're going to be here a while. This is going to take some time to do this. And I want to say this. Verse 13, this is put into perspective where it says, neither is this a work of one day or two. Can I paraphrase this? They simply said, we're going to be here a while. This is a tough thing to deal with. And can I tell you this? If you were to leave here tonight with just that one phrase, that one understanding, that sometimes in life you better get ready because you're going to be here for a little bit. The thing that you're dealing with is a tough thing. The problem that you're dealing with, the station of life that you're in. And I just want to talk to you tonight for a little while. I don't know how long I'll go. I'll try to keep it brief. But I want to talk to you tonight about this issue. We're going to be here a while. And trying to change your perspective. And all of us want things to change right now. We want things to happen right now. We want to be sanctified right now. We want things to happen when we want it to happen. And Ezra was, as a man of God, was telling these people, you need to change. You need to do right. And these people said, we're willing to do it. But this is a hard thing. And we're going to be here in a little while dealing with this. You see, I had years ago, I was playing soccer, and I hate soccer. Anyway, some guys tricked me to playing soccer. I don't get into that. But I was playing soccer, and in the middle of that soccer game, there was a light mist of rain that had covered the grass. And when I jumped in the air to go after the ball, when I landed, my knee went that way, my ankle went that way, and I blew out my ACL. Tore that thing to shreds. I had to go. I tried operating on that knee, by that bum knee, for a long time. Couldn't do it. Finally, the doctor said, "You got to have ACL surgery." I had that ACL surgery done, and you know what happens after surgery is, man, you don't want to sit around, right? Especially if you're a mobile person, you want to get going. You want to get going, right? I don't know how many times about ruined that surgery, trying to get those crutches moving, trying to get things going. I wanted to get into rehab right away, and they told me you got to slow down. It was a great day in that rehab process when I finally understood. I said, this is going to take some time. This is a hard thing you're dealing with. You better settle in for the long haul. You better realize it may take you 12, 13, 14 months to recover. It may take you 3 or 4 years. You know, when I got that change of thought, when I realized I'm going to be here a while, it's amazing how much settled in I got and how less troubled I was about it. You know, when I went to college, I was the first member of my family that I know of that ever went to college. And it was a big deal when I graduated from high school. Now I'm going to college, right? But how did I get sent off to college? With a handshake, a prayer, and a pat on the back. That's all I got. Got no money, got no resources. I was probably the most ill-prepared person to go to college. And here I see all these other kids at college, man, that grew up in great homes, right? That mom and dad would send them a little stipend, and some of them would go on tour and have all their college paid. I'm just joking, girls. And I see all these other people at the college, man, that had life together, and it just seemed like, boy, they'd take a class, they'd pass it, and they'd move on, and their credits would just fall right in place, and they never was financially withdrawn from the classes. And here was old bus kid Danny, just struggling, losing jobs, finding jobs, never having enough money, losing credit. And I was frustrated. I was so frustrated that I was at the point, literally, just quitting college. And then the thought popped in my mind, Danny, you didn't come from the same background a lot of these people did. You didn't come from the same situation. Danny, you better settle in, because if you're going to do this, you're going to be here a while. And you know, when I went to college, I changed my attitude. I said, you know what, this may take some time, but I'm okay with that. Because if this takes me 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, I will finish this. And it's amazing how when I just had that little change of mind, realizing that it may take me some time, it's amazing how the Lord let things start to fall into place. And it's amazing how less troubled I was going through that situation. I want to tell you this tonight, because some of you tonight, you want things to happen right now. You want things to change right now. You want your career to take off right now. You want this church to go to another level tonight. Let me just say this. Sometimes the Lord is trying to get across to us that we're going to be here a while. And you better settle in. And you better buckle down. And you better hunker down. You better get ready, because it may take some time. And it's a hard thing to deal with. I want to say this tonight, that you're going to be here a while, first of all, because of the complexity of our lives. I gave you a little bit of my testimony. The way I grew up, the complexity. I didn't grow up, you know, in the Leave It to Beaver home, all right? I didn't grow up in the Brady Bunch home, all right? My life was a little bit complex growing up. Therefore, some of life was a little bit harder. And I want to just say this. The complexity of our lives sometimes causes us to make us understand that we're going to be here. Well, I'm in Ezra chapter 9 and verse 7. Ezra chapter 9 and verse 7, it says this. It says, since the days of our fathers, we have been in great what? These folks were saying, Ezra, you got to understand this. This isn't a problem that just started today. This is a problem that our fathers dealt with, and their fathers dealt with, and their fathers dealt with. Hey, Ezra, we're willing to change, but I got to tell you something, Ezra. We may be here a while, because the complexity of our lives require some time to deal with some things. And I want to tell you this tonight, because some of you are frustrated. Some of you are thinking, this Christian life, I'm just not getting it. This Christian thing, I'm not falling in place where I should be. And some of you are discouraged, and some of you want to quit tonight. But I want to tell you, if you just understand, some of you come from some pretty complex backgrounds. And it may take you some time to sort through some issues. It may take you some time to get to a good place in your life. And I want to challenge you tonight, don't give up. I want to challenge you tonight, be patient with yourself. You're going to be here a while. Look, if I, as a 19, 20-year-old college student, I almost threw in the towel and said, forget this, I can't do this. I'm glad I had enough wisdom as a young man to realize this may take me some time, but I'm in it for the long haul. And some of you need to realize tonight, look, you're not in it for just today. You're in it for the long haul. This is a marathon, not a sprint. We'll talk about that a little bit later. I want to say this tonight. This was a years of problems that were handed down to him. We live in a day of sound bites, quick answers, quick fixes. With life, this is not realistic nor probable. Today, you can get on the internet and order something, it'll be here tomorrow morning. Right? Today, you can leave this place in that parking lot. We were in the middle of nowhere over and over on this trip. We've been in the middle of nowhere. We were in the middle of the Badlands with, you know, 5 bars reception on the internet. That's what kind of society we want things now, don't we? And some of you want quick answers, quick fixes. You want people to tell you what the problem is right here. Let me tell you, some of you need to settle down and realize it may take some time to work through that thing. We're going to be here a while. Some of you are like, are you serious? But I'm trying to help you tonight, because some of you are impatient and you want to push forward, and God's telling you, slow down. You see, it's going to be a while to untangle all the knots in the rope of your life. Some of you, man, some of you are fortunate. I've been talking about the commander several times throughout the day. He grew up seemingly a pretty good home. Seemingly. And was given a lot of great opportunities. But not all of us are that way. Some of you come from dysfunctional homes. Some of you come from a dysfunctional background. Your life doesn't look like one little rope. It's just a bunch of knots. Can I tell you something? It takes some time to work those knots out of your life. You know, notice that the main problem here in this passage that we talked about earlier was family problems. So many of the issues we deal with have been handed down through generational sin. Some of you are dealing with years of complex baggage. Take some time to work through it. It takes some time to sort through it. Can I tell you tonight? I think a good attitude change would be, I'm going to be here for a little bit. And I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. Would you say, hey, if it takes me, and I know we got military people here, and you've got your career already charted out, but if the Lord were to ask you to stay here in this church and work through some issues, wouldn't it be worth it to kind of work through those issues before you moved on? Maybe you need to be here a little while. No, I've got places I need to go. I got to see the world. I got to do things. And God is saying, you know what? No, you need to work through some issues. Slow down. Slow down. We've got young people at our college. They want to finish in 3 years. I want to grab some of them knuckleheads and say, when you finish, where are you going to go? Slow down. You've got some things you need to work through. You've got some issues you need to sort through. You're going to be here a while. You see, in many cases, just the fact that you can wake up sober each day and function is a miracle. Some of you come from backgrounds where there was, since the time you were a little child, there was abuse, abandonment, neglect. And just the fact you're in a fundamental independent Baptist church is a miracle in some cases. And I want to tell you tonight, some of you are so hard on yourself, you just got to slow down and say, I'm going to be here a little while. I've got tons of stuff I need to work through. One of the things that has helped me in my marriage is I realize, look, I bring a lot of baggage to the table. Praise the Lord for a great wife who had a great family. And I understand I bring a lot of baggage to a marriage. But I'm patient with myself. You know why? Because I'm in it for the long haul with that woman. We're going to be here a while. We're going to be here a while. And there's going to be a lot of untangling. And some things she untangles and she says, good night, I didn't know that was there. Delta, I didn't know that was there either. You're a great church. But some of you tonight, you got to realize, look, we're going to be here a while. I've got some knots I need to untangle. You see, some are dealing with the effects of abuse and neglect and trauma, hurt, addiction, incest, rape, molestation. All of these things are going to take some time to sort through. Do you know why some people don't make it in church? They come for 3 weeks and they say, this didn't work for me. They're dealing with 25, 30 years of complex emotional issues, and in 3 weeks. Do you know why some of you are on the border? Well, because you actually live on Canada and America. But no, do you know why some of you are on the fence? Because some of you are saying, this ain't working for me. This ain't working for me. You've got years of this piled up upon you, and I want to say this tonight. Why don't you settle in and say, we're going to be here a while. I want to say, secondly, not only are we going to be here a while because of the complexity of our lives, but number two, we're going to be here a while because the stuff we have to deal with is hard. Some of the decisions we have to make are tough. Can you imagine having to look at your spouse because of this commandment and say, I love you. You're the only wife I've ever known. But God has asked us to put away the strange wives, wives that we've acquired that are not believers, and you got to go. I'd say that's a tough decision. And can I tell you something? Sometimes it takes time to work up the courage to make those tough decisions. And I want to encourage you tonight just to be patient, because some of you got to make some tough decisions in your life. Some of you got to make a tough decision of being honest with somebody. And nobody knows what's going on in your heart and your mind. And that place of vulnerability, that place of intimacy, sometimes takes some courage to get to. And you don't get there overnight. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Some of you deal with hurts every single day of your life, and you're wrestling with, should I go talk to the preacher about it? Sometimes it takes some time to get to the place where you're willing to go seek help. That's why we're going to be here a while. We're going to be here a while because we got to make some tough decisions. In some cases, we've got to get addiction counseling. In some cases, we've got to get help with things. I want to say this, that we're going to be here a while because we deal with the things we have to deal with is tough. In Ezra chapter 10, in verse 9 and 11, look at some of the tough things that these folks had to deal with. In verse 9, it says, then all of the men of Judah and Benjamin gathered themselves together unto Jerusalem within 3 days. And it was the ninth month on the 20th day of the month, and all the people sat in the street of the house of God trembling because of this matter. I can't believe what we got to do. I can't believe this is something I've got to do. And the tough decisions require time. You see, not only do we have to untangle the knots, but then we have to deal with it. And dealing with things is tough stuff. Look at verse 12. In verse 12 of this chapter, the Bible says, then all the congregation answered and said with a loud voice, as thou hast said, so must we do. You know what that's called? That's called commitment. And sometimes commitment takes a while to get to. Some of you have been in relationships where you have finally come to a place where you go, no more. No more. And that kind of commitment takes time to get to. That commitment that says, we will work through this. We will do this. Or I will change. Or I will go get some help. Or I will do this. It takes some time to get to that commitment. You know, I was working at a church. And I love this. The pastor was remodeling. And there was two ladies in the church. And the pastor said, we got to get this bathroom painted tonight. And they looked, everybody else said, I don't think you're going to do that. And these two ladies, I remember who they were, Hilda and another lady, looked at the pastor and said, it will be done tonight. Those ladies got in there and gave it all they got and painted that bathroom, literally painted it all night. The opening day was on that following Sunday, big, huge bathroom, painted that bathroom. I saw that commitment in their eyes, that determination. But can I tell you, sometimes that commitment and determination takes some time to get to. We're going to be here a while before that happens. Not only are we going to be here a while because the complexity of our lives, not only are we going to be here a while because the stuff we have to deal with is hard, I want to say this thirdly, we're going to be here a while because life is a journey, not a destination. You look in 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 13, the Bible says, but the people are many, and it is a time of much rain. And they're not able, Ezra 10:13. But the people are many, and it is a time of much rain, and we are not able to stand without. Neither is this a work of one day or two. This is a journey. It's not just a destination. The elders basically said, yes, this is a very serious problem, but life is still going on. Look at verse 14. It says, let now our rulers of all the congregation stand, and let all them which have taken strange wives in our cities come and at appointed time. What is the Bible saying here? And please don't miss this. But the Bible is saying is we're going to be here a while because if you ever realize you're going to be here a while, it would help you live in the present. You know, some of you are so consumed with a problem that life is passing you by while you're focused on this problem. You know, life doesn't stop. And some of you are so consumed with this issue in your life that it's hogging up the time of your other family members. Some of you, even tonight, you haven't been in this church service all night long. Your mind is on a problem. Your mind is on an issue. If you ever learned that life is a journey, it's not a destination. Here's what some of you are trying to do. You're trying to arrive at this happy, beautiful, wonderful, la-la-la, spectacular life. And you're thinking life is a destination. It's not. It's a journey.
Amen.
And we're going to be here a while because, literally, this is where I'm supposed to be. I've looked at the problems in my life, the difficulties in my life, and I've come to the conclusion, this is where I'm supposed to be right now. Life's a journey. It's not a destination. Some of you have got a place picked out where you need to be. You've got a home picked out, a job picked out, a destination, and the Bible is telling us, hey, slow down a little bit. You're so busy in your mind trying to get to that peaceful place that you're missing out on the present. When I was a single man, you know, in your mind, boy, you think, man, I need to be married, and that's the destination for me. I need to be married. And can I tell you this? You can be so consumed with being married and getting out of singlehood that you miss out on being present with people. So you're not present with people. You're not, when you're there, you're not there. Your mind is distracted. Why? Because your mind is at that destination. Problem resolved. Glorious life. And I'm going to remind you tonight, we're going to be here a while because life is a journey. It's not a destination. I want to tell you, realize that you are where you're supposed to be. You never learn the lessons that God is trying to teach you until you live in the present. God is trying to teach you some lessons, and you better realize it's going to be a while. It's going to be a while before God can get rid of the attitude, take me where I want to go and exchange it for make me what I ought to be. Some of you, this is your fight with God. Take me where I want to be. And you've got the place already picked out, right? In my place, it was the little white house with the picket fence. The beautiful wife, the dog that came up and laughed at you, but keep the dog outside because I don't like pets. And you know, it was the wonderful little place. And my discussion with God is, take me where I want to go. And some of you are frustrated tonight because you are not where you want to go. And God's saying, we're going to keep you here until you change your prayer from, God, take me to where I want to go, to make me what I ought to be. And there's some of you tonight, this problem that God has sent you, this thing that God has put on you, is ordained of God to change you into the person that God wants you to be. And you got to realize, we're going to be here a while. Because God is using this situation, God is using this time in my life, to make me what I ought to be. Fourthly, and I'm moving on here quickly, fourthly, we're going to be here a while because I'm not only dealing with my mess, but I'm dealing with the impact of others on my life. We read earlier in Ezra chapter 10 and verse 13 where these people that were now dealing with this situation said, Ezra, you have to understand, I am cleaning up the mess that other people have made. I want to say this. All of us have people who are making life difficult for us. And if you could get rid of everybody in your life who's making someone difficult, you would be a mass murderer, just like me. Because I don't know how many times, if I was a gun-carrying person, there'd be some people in my life that would be gone. It would be Dirty Harry time. You feel lucky, punk? That felt good right there, actually. You feel lucky, punk? How many people I wanted to blow away because they're making my life. And I've had to slowly over the years come to the conclusion, they ain't going anywhere. We're going to be here a while. And I better learn to deal with that person. I've got them. You've got them. And don't give me that little Christian smile like, no, not our family. We are the squeakies. No, you're the sinners, just like this sinner right here. I want to tell you right now, we're going to be here a while because all of us have people that have made our life complicated. For some, it's a mother-in-law. We always pick on the mother-in-law. For some, it's a father. For some, it's a mother. For some, it's a brother. For some, it's a sister. For some, it's the person sitting right next to you. Why don't you go ahead and tell them that? Beat your average junk. Don't do it. But what I want to say here tonight is that the problem is not going away, and God wants you to take your responsibility in that problem. God is trying to teach you lessons through difficult people. I won't be too transparent, but I've got one person that's on my mind, you know who it is, that has made my life difficult for years. I'm getting a migraine just thinking about this person. But that person's not going away. And I could be a horrible Christian and just wish they would die, right? Don't get more spiritual than me. Because there's some of you, well, you're like, that person could just die, and that life would be so much more better. Well, here's what I've said. Lord, we won't be here a while with this person. You better help me to learn how to cope with this. And not just cope, but teach me what you want to teach me through this. Because the most difficult thing in the world to do is love difficult people. But God puts them in your life. And folks, you're going to be here a while. And instead of wishing that person away, why don't you just say, you know what, we're going to be here a while with this. And Father, if you'll help me with your grace, I will love that person. Hey, love doesn't mean giving in to every one of their beck and calls. Love doesn't mean doing what they say. I've got family members that every time they call me, they think I've got to move on their... No. Love is not passive. Love is not beat me up, walk all over me, no. Love is, I love you the way God loves you. I will pray for you. I will wish you no ill. But I want to say this tonight. Love, I want to say that often I find that the attitudes I hate in others are attitudes I really hate in myself. Are attitudes that God wants me to know how it feels. I find that the most difficult people in my life reveal to me attitudes that I have with God. And God says, see how it feels? See how it feels? See how it feels? I go, yeah, but I still want them out of my life. And I just want to tell you tonight, every single person in this room has a difficult person. It really would change your attitude if you realize we're going to be here a while with this one. And then I want to say finally tonight, and don't get your hopes up when I say finally, because finally can take 45 minutes. It won't, but it could. But we're going to be here a while because finally, our problems require trust, transparency, and honesty. And that's just not built overnight. Look at Ezra chapter 10 and verse 16, our final verse that we'll look at. It says, and the children of the captivity did so, and Ezra the priest, after the house of their fathers, and all of them by their names were separated and sat down in the first day of the 10th month to examine the matter. They had to come clean and say, I'm one of those that has a strange wife. Let's do this. That takes some time to get to. Honesty, transparency, vulnerability takes time to get to. And some of you aren't there yet. It's going to take some time. Do you know when you will grow as a Christian? When you're able to come around other believers and be totally honest with yourself. When you're able to come to the pastor and say, preacher, let me tell you about some stuff that's going on in our marriage. But can I tell you that takes some time to get to. All of us have facades. All of us have a hard time being vulnerable. All of us have a hard time being intimate. Me and my wife had been dating for a long, it's a long story. It's a great story. It sounds like a country song. She left me, came back, you know, I got the dog back, truck back, everything. But we broke up, and after that time of breakup, God was working on her heart. And it could have been the fact that I was stalking her every night outside her window. Can you see me out here? Just joking, man. Some of you are like, man, for reals? No, I'm just joking, all right? But I was madly in love with her. And we had broken up, and you know, I was singing that song every night. Cry. You know, and just, well, I was a mess. And the Lord was working on both of our hearts. And we had dated a while, broke up, and then the Lord touched her heart, touched my heart. We got back together again, and the Lord had revealed to her that I was the one for her. What do you know? Anyway, but she knew that there was sides of me that I really wasn't showing. She was patient with me. I remember one night we were talking, and we went for a walk, and we sat down on this bench there in Crown Point, and we were sitting down there, and she was telling me her story, you know, just telling me, you know, and just going on and on and on and on. No, and we were talking, and then she looks to me, and she says, tell me about yourself. And I, you know, just all to the surface, you know, close, play close to the vest. And then she got in my face, and she said, we're not going anywhere until you let me know who you are. That's good stuff right there. Praise the Lord for a good wife. She got my face. She goes, you're not leaving here till you tell me who you are. Opened up my heart, started sharing about my past, my upbringing, my life. After about 35, 40 minutes, I felt like I was on Oprah. She broke through. She broke through this crazy nut. Can I tell you something? She got to vulnerability. She got to intimacy. But it just took some time. Some of you need to get there with your spouse. You need to get there with other brothers in here. Some of you, you walk into church and it's just playing close to the vest. Talk about work. Talk about bills. Talk about the lawn. Talk about that elk you took down. I don't know what you guys talk about out here. But it's just right at the surface. Right at the surface. And God is saying, I can never use you to your fullest. Until you can trust people. Until you're honest with people. Until you're vulnerable with people. And can I tell you this, folks? It takes some time. Some of you, God has put you in a very unique place. He's put you in a place where that is happening in your life. And you got to come to that place in your life where you say to yourself, we're going to be here a while. We're experts at keeping people away. We're experts at talking, but not saying too much. And I just want to tell you tonight, all of us are, to some degree, are in that place. We're frustrated where we're at in life, right? This is not where I'm supposed to be. Can I tell you, where you are is where you're supposed to be. And in some cases, you'd be a whole lot happier if you said, we're going to be here a while, and that's just okay. This is a horrible illustration. I hate to even finish the message on this note. But I was in college, and I was a security guard at McCormick Place Convention Center in downtown Chicago. And my job was to guard a machine. That's all I had to do all night long. And this machine, the one thing it did was, it was a couple $100,000 machine. All it did was shrink wrap with cellophane, certain things, and had these long rolls and with these huge rolls of cellophane paper. And the bars got real hot and melted that paper and shrink wrap different things. That thing cost over $200,000 or $300,000, and my job was to guard it. But I was a dumb college student, 18, 19 years old. And what do I do instead of guarding it? I start playing with the buttons. Next thing you know, I hit the wrong button and the thing turns on, and the rolls get hot. And that cellophane paper starts to go. And before you know it, my eyes get this big. And I'm pushing buttons and pushing them. Finally, I hit the right button, but I stop. But by the time I stop, there's cellophane paper everywhere. I'm panicking. I'm thinking, I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to lose everything I got. Oh, I'm going back and forth. I'm thinking, what am I going to do? Do I call and tell them what I just did? I look, and I say, Lord, I got 8 hours. And the Lord seemed to say, you got 8 hours to clean it up. And I said, I'm going to be here all night. It's going to take some time, but I'm going to clean this mess up. All night long I was scurrying. All night long I was working, taking this piece off and trying to put that thing together. And boy, about the time the shift ended, that was fast the shift, by the way, went like this. By the time that shift ended, that machine looked like it was brand new. It was cleaned, like nothing had happened. But I remember just looking at that, it looked like a mess. It looked like there's no way I was going to be able to fix that thing. But I just settled in and realized, it's going to take me a while, but I'll get it done. It's amazing how things started to happen. Some of you are frustrated with your marriage, with your child, with the situation around you. My challenge you tonight is this. Would you just realize, it may look impossible, but if you just realize you're going to be here a while, but you're going to work at it and you're going to fix it. It's amazing what God can do when you are willing to settle in and say, I'm not running from this. I'm not saying I won't do it. I'm saying it's a difficult thing, Lord. And with your help, it may take a while, but I will get it done. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Father, I thank you tonight for the preaching of your word, Lord. I do wish that these folks had a better speaker, maybe one that was more eloquent. I know their pastor would have preached a dynamic, incredible message tonight. But Father, I imagine in a group like this, there's so many different hurts. There's so many different places and stations of life where people are at. I pray that your message would be interpreted by the Holy Spirit. I don't know where you're at tonight, but I just would like for you to examine. Are you frustrated with where you're at? Are you being impatient? Are there difficult people that are making your life right now miserable? You're saying, if I could just get that person to see it my way. Maybe tonight's thought, just that we're going to be here a while. It's a hard thing that we've got to do. But I'm settling in for the long haul, and I'm settling in to get this done. Maybe that's you tonight. In just a second, I'm going to ask Amber to play. Just play any song, be fine, and just play an invitation song. And as she plays the invitation song, I'm going to ask us all to stand. The invitation will be open tonight. But you know what the Lord has spoken to you about. But tonight, would you just say, I'm in this thing for the long haul. We're going to be here a while, and with God's help, we're going to win it. Father, bless this invitation for Christ's sake. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Amber plays. Let's all stand for the invitation. If you want to come forward and spend a little bit of time here with the Lord, and just maybe there's an area of your life where you are frustrated, Lord. Well, the commander gave us a great testimony at lunchtime. He talked about a personal testimony where he was trying to push the will of God and push the will of God, and finally kind of just let go and said, if it takes me a while to find it, I will. And he settled in for the long haul. It's amazing how the Lord has blessed him in a miraculous way. And some of you are trying to force things to happen instead of saying, this may take a while, but I'll wait on God for it. Maybe you've wanted children and you're desperate for a child. You want a child now. Now, God, would you change it now? And God's saying, it's going to be a while. Would you settle in? Maybe it's financially. Maybe by now in your life you thought you'd have a lot more. You'd be a little bit further ahead. Remember, life's a journey, not a destination. Maybe you're a single person here tonight and you're frustrated. Oh, you wish you could be married. You wish you look at other couples and you say, I wish I could have that. Lord, I want that. And I want it now. Would you settle in? And as painful as it may seem, it's going to be a while. Wait on God.
Amen. You may be seated. Sheer told me that Hiles Anderson was going to be here. I admit, I was mad. He said he's going to be preaching Sunday morning and Sunday night, and I got upset. So I'm preaching. I would have preached if you weren't here. But I tell you what, God gave us exactly what we needed. That was tremendous, and we needed that. And I appreciate that you stood up here and preached what God would have for our church to hear. And we thank you so much for that. We're going to take an offering for Hiles Anderson. I know we took one this morning. We do have people that are out doing buses and different things like that. And I want to get everybody an opportunity to give. Maybe you're in the nursery or something and have that opportunity. Ushers, you come at this time. I just want to say real quickly, too, I just want to thank Brother Brian Crabtree. He has really stepped up while Pastor Shear's been gone and helping out with the buses and Junior Church and everything that I normally would be doing. He really stepped in there. I want to thank Brother John Connor and I know his different people. I know Jordan Sumner and Brian were here weeding, and then Jen was here as well. And was your wife here as well, too? And Brother Roy was here as well, too, supervising to make sure that it was done right. He was not on the machine mowing by any means, because he's not supposed to be, but he was supervising and getting everything ready and looking nice. And so I just want to publicly thank you guys for giving up that Saturday and working, making our church look nice, and everybody else that just does so much around here. And we appreciate that. Let's take an offering for Hiles Anderson. Let's pray real quick. Dear Lord, I thank you for a tremendous message. Lord, exactly what we needed, and you gave it to us. And Lord, I pray that we would take that and just write it down somewhere in our Bible, that we remember we're here for the long haul. It's not going to be quick. It's not going to be an easy, just put a Band-Aid over it and go. But Lord, it's going to take a while. And thank you for that message. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with us as we give now to Hiles Anderson. Thank you for all the things that they do for our country and for you, sending out preachers and just laymen as well. And Lord, I pray that you just continue to bless Pastor Scott and the ministry they have there. In your name, amen.